the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him.
Your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Lord, what will you have me do?
Arise and go into Damascus, and you will be told what you must do.
Saul, sir. We heard a voice but saw no one. Did you?
Yes, Captain. I saw and heard Jesus of Nazareth, even the Son of God, the crucified one.
You think the one you have been persecuting is really the Son of God? That Stephen and the rest of them have been right? That the claims of the disciples have been true?
Captain, I have been punished for my cruel persecution of the followers of Jesus. Whereas up to now I have been in spiritual darkness, I am now in physical darkness. I cannot see.
You are blind, sir?
Completely, Captain. Take me by the hand, please, and lead me into Damascus.
Greetings, guard.
Greetings and salutations, sir.
We are looking for a street called Straight.
You're looking at it, sir. It goes from this gate westward through the city to an exit gate there.
We are looking for someone, but we don't know who.
I'm fairly well acquainted here in Damascus. Could probably help you if you knew something about the one you're seeking.
Guard, sir, we know not the man's name, but we know that he is a follower of the Son of God. He is a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth.
There are a lot of those here in Damascus, but you're probably looking for Judas. He's the only one I know of living on the street called Straight.
If you'll please direct us to his house, we'd be thankful.
Gladly, but I doubt if he'll see you. Those followers of Jesus aren't seeing any stranger these days. The report is rampant that Saul of Tarsus, he's the one who's been persecuting these same people in Jerusalem, that he's on his way to persecute them here.
We'll have to take that chance, of course. If you'll just direct us to where this Judas lives, we'd be eternally grateful.
Who is it?
A friend.
There's someone with you, a soldier. Who is he?
I am blind. He led me here.
Send him away and I'll let you in.
All right. Captain, you may go back now and thank you for your kindness and help. I shall pray for you that your mind and heart may be illuminated by truth as mine have been. Farewell, Captain.
Farewell, my friend.
The soldier is gone, sir.
When I open the door, come in, quickly.
I'm blind, remember?
I will help you.
Give me your hand. There. Now, what may I do for you?
The Lord directed me to come here.
The Lord?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth directed you here.
Jesus appeared to me in glorious light. He told me to come to the street called Straight, and I'd be told what I must then do.
Who are you?
I am Saul of Tarsus.
I've been tricked.
You have not been tricked. I have been converted.
How do I know your soldiers aren't surrounding the place?
You don't, but they aren't. True, I came to Damascus to persecute the believers of Jesus. Now I am one myself. I know that Jesus of Nazareth lives and that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He was crucified, buried, rose again that such sinners as I might be forgiven and saved into a heavenly kingdom.
You sound convincing, but I'm told that that is one of your main assets, that you're a good talker. I'm sorry, but I cannot take a chance. I'm going to have to lock you securely in a room until I am sure who you are and why you're here.
Thank you. Oh, God, hear me in the name of Jesus, hear me. How could I have let Satan control me as he did? I was blind, completely and wholly blind, to the evidence presented by Stephen. I wouldn't allow myself to be persuaded, even when the face of Stephen had been lighted up with the radiance of heaven. Oh God, thou knowest how sad and broken-hearted I am as I recount the many times I have closed my eyes and ears against the most striking evidence that Jesus is thy Son. As I recall the many scriptures pointing to Jesus as the Messiah, I'm astonished that I could have ever doubted.
For 3 long days, Saul was shut up between those 4 walls. He was without sight or companionship. Neither did he eat or drink. The believers, having been warned of the purpose of Saul in coming to Damascus, feared that he might be acting a part in order to more readily deceive them, and they held themselves aloof, refusing him their sympathy. Those were 3 days of soul-searching for Saul. He had journeyed toward Damascus, a proud Pharisee, confident in himself and his accomplishments. He was now bowed down before God with the humility and simplicity of a small child, confessing his own unworthiness and pleading the merits of a crucified and risen Savior. The believers refused Saul's sympathy or help. He knew those with whom he had planned to unite in persecuting the believers would not even listen to his story. Thus he seemed to be shut away from all human help and sympathy.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
I've got an idea. Let's play a guessing game. I'll sing some clues about an animal, and you see if you can guess what animal I'm singing about.
Where are you going?
Oh, hi, Rico. I'm heading for the grocery store. Mom forgot to buy carrots for our carrot stew tonight. Can't have carrot stew without carrots. That'd be just hot water. She said that we were going to drive back to the store, but I told her I'd take care of it.
On your bicycle? That's kind of a long way.
It's good exercise, and besides, there's enough poison in the air already.
Poison? What do you mean?
See all those cars and trucks? Well, each one has an engine, and each engine is burning gasoline, and the exhaust puts pollution in the air. Then we breathe it. Too much pollution can poison us. So I figure if I ride my bike to the store, a vehicle, which, by the way, creates absolutely no pollution, I'm helping the air stay cleaner.
I'm impressed.
Not only that, I told my mom and dad that we needed to figure out how to drive our car less. You know, like going to town and doing a bunch of things. Not just one. I figure that if everyone did that, we'd have a lot less dirty air and a lot more clean air to breathe. By the way, where are you heading?
I'm going to the park. Mom gave me money for a taxi.
You mean one of those stinking, gas-burning, air-polluting taxis?
Okay, I see what you mean. Mind if I ride with you?
No problem. I can even take you to my house for supper. Do you like carrot stew?
Love it.
And then we can use your taxi money to buy mangoes.
I'd better call my mom and ask if it would be all right.
Tell her you're riding in the city's only non-polluting taxi and that the driver is a really nice guy.
Just drive.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Jesus loves us. boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story shows you how great it is to have a pet and how sad it can be when a pet disappears. While Jenny and her friend Natalie search for clues about what happened to Butterscotch, Jenny learns some important lessons about forgiveness. Chapter 5, The Unforgiving Servant.
Arf! Arf!
Mrs. Wallace looked puzzled. Then her eyes got big. You don't think that's Shorty, do you? Jenny raced to the door. It is Shorty. Shorty, what did you do with my cat? Shorty didn't answer. He just danced around wagging his tail. Well, there you are, Shorty, Mrs. Wallace said. Jenny, get him some of Butterscotch's food to eat. I'll call Dee Dee's mom. Jenny was horrified. Mom, I'm not feeding him Butterscotch's food. It's his fault Butterscotch is gone. Jenny, you can't blame a dog for acting like a dog. It wasn't his fault. Jenny dug in the cupboard for some of her cat's old food. If it isn't Shorty's fault, she muttered, then it's Tevin's fault. Shorty is his dog. She dumped the food into a dish, and it's Dee Dee's fault because she brought him to our house. No one answered at Dee Dee's house, so Mrs. Wallace made Jenny lock Shorty in the garage. We'll take him to Tevin's tomorrow after church. Jenny waited at her window all evening. Maybe Butterscotch has been hiding from Shorty. Maybe she'll come home now. But Butterscotch never appeared. The next morning, Jenny got ready slowly and grumpily. Let's get in the car, her mom called. It's time to go. Jenny gave her hair a quick brush and headed for the door. Today, it didn't matter what she looked like. She just didn't care. Slumped in the corner of her side of the car, she listened while her mother was talking. These people have no home, no nice clothes, nothing, Mrs. Wallace said. They need help. I need help, Jenny thought. I need help finding my cat. I wonder if anyone cares about that. Butterscotch always listened to my problems without complaining or getting bored. Suddenly, Jenny missed her cat more than ever, and the more she thought about it, the more she missed her until finally tears started to trickle down her cheek. She wiped them carefully away so her mother wouldn't see them and ask why she was crying. Jenny slunk into the shoebox as if she was trying to hide, but Maria pounced on her the way Butterscotch used to pounce on grasshoppers. "Jenny, sit next to me, okay?" Maria asked. "All right," Jenny agreed. She followed Maria and sat beside her. She was careful not to look at Dee Dee, and so she missed the hurt look on Dee Dee's face. "I'm so excited. Aren't you excited?" Maria said. "I can't wait for family day." "I can," Jenny muttered. Maria looked surprised. "You can? Why? Before, you couldn't stop talking about it." "That was before Butterscotch disappeared," Jenny said, trying hard not to cry again. Maria's eyes opened wide in surprise. "Your beautiful cat disappeared? How? Did someone catnap her?" Jenny shot a mean look toward Dee Dee. "No, it was Dee Dee's fault. Her cousin's dog chased Butterscotch away. Now we won't be able to be in the pet show on family day. I don't even think I want to go at all now." "You can't mean that," Maria said. Jenny stuck her chin out stubbornly. I do mean it." Before Maria could say anything else, Mrs. Shue came in the room and everyone settled down. Mrs. Shue smiled brightly at them. "We're going to do a little play acting this morning. Can I have some volunteers?" Several hands went up and Mrs. Shue chose Sammy and Dee Dee. Then everyone's hands went down and they sat back to see what was going to happen. "Oops," Mrs. Shue said. "I need 3 volunteers. Jenny, would you come up and be our 3rd person?" Jenny tried not to groan. She hadn't even had her hand up to be picked in the first place. Besides, Dee Dee was up there and she wasn't even sure she could speak to Dee Dee after what happened. Still, she couldn't disappoint Mrs. Shue. "Yes," she said, walking as slowly as she could to the front of the room. Dee Dee gave her a puzzled look but didn't say anything. Mrs. Shue handed them each a piece of paper with their lines on it. "Sammy, you're the king," she said, "and Jenny, you're the 1st servant. Dee Dee, you play the 2nd servant. Go ahead, Sammy." Sammy cleared his throat and in his deepest voice he read his lines. "I'm the king, and I'm going to settle my accounts. Bring me the man who owes me a bazillion dollars, because I'm going to sell everything he has to pay his debt." Then he frowned. "Mrs. Shue, what's a bazillion?" "Lots and lots," Mrs. Shue replied. "Now, Jenny, you read your lines." "Oh, no," Jenny read flatly. "I don't have a bazillion dollars, but if you'll be patient, I'll pay you everything." "Okay," Sammy shrugged. "Forget about it. You don't owe me a penny anymore." For a second, everyone just stood there. Then Mrs. Shue whispered, "Jenny, your turn." Jenny looked at her card and saw that she was supposed to grab Dee Dee by her collar and say her lines. She grabbed her shoulder instead and shook her a little harder than she needed to. You owe me a dollar. Pay up. Dee Dee pulled away from Jenny and rubbed her shoulder. I don't have a dollar, but if you'll be patient with me, I'll pay you everything. No way, Jenny said. Throw her in jail until she pays up. Sammy, would you read the ending? Mrs. Shue asked. The master called the wicked servant and said, I forgave you a bazillion dollars because you asked me to. Shouldn't you also forgive your fellow servant who owed you a dollar? I am sending you to prison until you pay every cent. Can anyone tell me what this lesson means? Mrs. Shue asked the kids. Jenny thought for a minute. Something about that story sounded very familiar. Something sounded a lot like her. Willie raised his hand. Is it that we need to forgive other people their sins because Jesus forgave us our sins? He asked. That's exactly it, Mrs. Shue exclaimed. The bazillion dollars, the big debt, is our sins. The dollar, the little debt, is other people's sins against us. If Jesus forgave us so much, how can we not forgive others? Jenny sat down in her seat slowly. She knew what she had to do, but she was scared to do it. As soon as Sabbath school was over, she made her way over to Dee Dee's chair. Dee Dee was gathering up her things to leave. Jenny cleared her throat. Dee Dee, I want to tell you that I'm sorry. Dee Dee looked up. I noticed that you haven't talked to me all week. I'm really sorry, Jenny said softly. I blamed you for Butterscotch disappearing because Tevin is your cousin and Shorty is his dog. I know it wasn't your fault. Will you forgive me? Dee Dee nodded. Yes, I do. But I'm awful sorry Butterscotch didn't come back. Oh, by the way, Shorty came back. He showed up last night when we were having biscuits for supper. Really? Dee Dee got excited. I can't wait to tell Tevin. She ran off to find her mother. Jenny thought as she walked up the stairs to the sanctuary, maybe Jesus will let Butterscotch come home now that I've apologized to Dee Dee. Maybe that's what he was waiting for.
You have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 3, Jenny's Cat-Napped Cat, written by Celeste Perino Walker, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. The children come, please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.